Hello and welcome to the Quinebaug River Church Snow Day Devotional for Sunday, January 24th. Happy Snow Day. It's a great day to spend cleaning up after the event that we got this weekend, and I know you'll be enjoying time with family and relaxing as we all dig out from the first major snow event of 2016. So glad you could join me this morning for a little time of reflection and devotional for those of you who attend Quinebaug River Church, and of course those of you who don't regularly attend Quinebaug River Church and maybe you're listening this morning and joining us, welcome as well. Before I start our Snow Day devotional, I just want to bring a couple of things to your attention by way of announcement. Our calendar is a very exciting place. If you haven't had a chance to go to riverchurch.org and click on the calendar link, I'd ask you to do so. There's a number of things there that you will find on our calendar that is on our website that is very, very cool. We have a number of small groups that are starting up very, very quickly. On Thursday, the 28th, Trish will be starting with the Women's Bible Study that will meet at Maria Crisidlo's in Jewett City. The Thompsons are beginning their small group in Danielson-Killingly area on Saturday, the 30th. And also the Bradleys will be starting their small group in Griswold on the 2nd of February, which is coming up quick as well. So you can find out more information about all of these small groups by clicking the Winter Small Group tab on our website. Also, you'll notice that we are hosting our first ever youth group event, and that will be on Saturday, February 6th. We'll be taking middle school and high school students to the Sky Zone in Rhode Island, and you can register for that event on our website as well. And while you're there on our website, in that center section of the main page where all of these links are for both small groups and the youth event, you can also see, if you like, you can donate online now as well. I mentioned this at our annual meeting, but if you weren't there or haven't seen that link yet, hopefully that is encouraging to you as well, that you can donate either in church on Sundays or online at gotoriverchurch.org. So this morning's Snow Day devotional is going to come from Acts chapter 19. We're actually going to wrap up Acts chapter 18 a little bit and then jump into Acts chapter 19. Something I think that I have definitely experienced this week, and we're probably experiencing together as well if you are outside either yesterday or even this morning, that it's one thing when it's cold outside, and we prepare for that. We bundle for that. We dress appropriately for that, and we're out and about. Maybe we go for a little walk, or we go for a little run, or we're doing some shoveling. And we know that it's cold outside. We're not surprised by that. We're prepared for that. But then the wind blows. And there's something about when the wind starts to blow that we find the chinks in our armor, if you will. We find the things that we're not prepared for as far as dealing with the weather. The gap between our mittens and our coat, or the gap between our coat and our neck or our face. Or we realize that maybe we thought we were bundled appropriately for the weather, and maybe we were for the cold, but when the wind starts to blow, we quickly realize that we weren't as prepared as we thought we were. There's something about that wind chill factor. You know, it only affects living beings. The wind chill factor doesn't really affect inanimate objects at all. But we know that the wind makes a big difference, that we can be prepared for the cold weather and dressed for the temperature. But it's a separate issue to be dressed for the wind, to be prepared for the wind. Nothing communicates the cold or the harshness of a New England winter quite like the wind finding those weak spots in our defense against the chilly weather. This week, we're going to be looking at one of the most challenging passages in the New Testament as we wrap up Acts chapter 18 and jump into Acts chapter 19, in that Luke is preparing us for something. He's preparing us for winter, if you will. Paul has not had an easy time of it as he has traveled around planting new churches. We know, and we've talked about, that he's had some challenging circumstances, but for the most part, he's been able to preach the gospel everywhere he wants to go. The story is going to change. Between Acts chapter 19 and the end of the book in Acts chapter 28, life is going to get very challenging for Paul. There's going to be a new level of persecution and imprisonment in Paul's life. And in Acts chapter 18 and beginning in Acts chapter 19, Luke is preparing us for this reality, for the cold wind, if you will, that is going to start blowing in Paul's life. And here's kind of one of the big ideas that we see in the text. You see, because Luke knows and wants to communicate to his readership and to us that life is going to get very hard for the Apostle Paul, he wants us to know that the Apostle Paul is not going to be okay with life's circumstances. They're going to be very, very challenging, very, very difficult. But we never see Paul grumbling. We never see Paul complaining. We never see Paul bitter. We never see Paul abandoning his faith, because he has something that just wasn't possible to have up until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost. Specifically, Paul has something much more than a repentant life, doing all the right things at the right time with the right people in order to please God. He actually has a relationship with Jesus Christ that is evident through the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. See, if Paul didn't have that personal relationship with God, he could very well look at the challenging things that are going to happen to him pretty much for the rest of his life, that Luke is going to record following Acts chapter 18 and chapter 19, and continually ask the question, why are all these bad things happening to me? I'm God's man on God's mission doing God's stuff. Why are all these bad things happening to me? But because of Paul's assurity of salvation and the centrality of the role of the Holy Spirit in his relationship with God and the sense of actual love and personal fellowship with God and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, he doesn't ask that question once. Now, that's how I kind of summarize what's going on in Acts chapter 18 and beginning in Acts chapter 19, but that is not how Luke teaches us this at all. Luke uses two positive illustrations and one negative illustration to help make his point about the centrality of the role of the Holy Spirit in our personal relationship with God, to help us as modern day believers, as modern day Christians, to not feel like we always have to go around asking, why are all these difficult things happening to us? Because we are able to dig deep in our personal relationship and have evidence of it in our lives. So the examples that he uses, however, to underscore this main point and this idea are some of the most bizarre stories in the New Testament. Beginning in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, Luke introduces to us a guy named Apollos, who is a preacher from Alexandria, a Jew who's just tearing it up in Ephesus. He's doing a great job preaching. And the scripture records in Acts 18, verses 24 through 28, that Apollos was eloquent, he was competent, he was fervent, he was accurate, and he was bold. All of these great adjectives describe Apollos. However, the scripture also says that Priscilla and Aquila heard him preach a few times and realized that he didn't really know about the grace of God that was being displayed through the New Testament church, and that the gospel was also for Gentiles and not just Jews. In fact, the text says that he was only familiar with the baptism of John the Baptist, so he knew a lot about repentance, but he didn't know a whole lot about faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. And so they took him aside, they shared these things with him, and then Apollos continued traveling around and did wonderful things. The text goes on, beginning in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, where Paul now is traveling through the Ephesus area, and he comes across some disciples, and he starts talking to them, and they say, oh yeah, man, we're disciples, and we love preaching about repentance. And Paul basically says, well, have you ever heard about the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul shares the gospel with them, and they receive salvation. They hear about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and they hear about the day of Pentecost and how Paul's been preaching to Jews and Gentiles and that the gospel is for everyone. And they're actually baptized, and they're encouraged and move on. And then there's so these are the two positive examples about how the Holy Spirit is very alive and people are learning more and more about the power of the Holy Spirit and how it's important that repentance and the baptism of John is fantastic, but that's not what Christianity is. That's just really good Judaism. That Christianity is not only repentance from sin and the things that we know we should turn from, but also faith in Jesus Christ as evidenced through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as a negative example, in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 20, there are these guys going around who are the sons of a high priest, and they're called in the New Testament the sons of Sceva, and they were praying for people, basically, that they would be delivered from demonic oppression, and they were saying, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ that Paul is preaching. See, they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit either. They were just trying to make a buck by helping people, tapping into power that they'd heard about but hadn't experienced themselves personally. And Luke goes on to record that this did not go well for these guys, that the man they were actually trying to pray for and heal through the power of the evil entity that was in this guy beat up on these sons of Sceva, and they had to go run out of the house. And so it's a very interesting text. It's a very challenging text, and there's a lot going on there. But the big picture with these two positive examples and the one negative example is that it is important to understand that Christianity is a lot more than just living a life of repentance. Living a life of repentance is like bundling up for the cold but forgetting about the wind chill. Because the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit is what prevents us from feeling like we have to go through our life constantly asking the question, why are all these bad and challenging things happening to me? Because we actually feel close to God, and we can begin to understand, even though we don't may not understand our circumstances, we understand God's heart and His love for us. You see, the tangible, what we can see, strengthens the intangible. The aspects of our faith that are very, very tangible are the aspects of our faith that build the intangible aspects of our faith, our actual relationship with God to help us through difficult times. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, God says, "Let the nation of Israel build me a tent, build me a tabernacle, that I might dwell with them." And if you've read the book of Exodus, you would know that for chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, God gives great detail about what He wants this tabernacle, what He wants this portable tent to look like. And He's not building a house for the nation of Israel. He's building a house for Himself so that he might dwell with the nation of Israel. And what was, and then God came and dwelt in the middle of His people in this tabernacle, in this tent that they created for Him. And what was found in a tent in the Old Testament is now found in tangible relationships in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus says that wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there I am tabernacled in their midst, tented in their midst. Wherever two or three who are gathered in My name, there I am. Jesus is present with us relationally, personally, through the power of the Holy Spirit when we are gathered together as believers. Now, obviously, today we're not gathered together physically as believers, but we're gathered together spiritually as we're listening to this message. And more importantly, this week, once the snow clears and our small groups start up, we absolutely have the possibility and the potential to be gathered together very tangibly. Ladies, you have an opportunity Thursday night. Husbands and wives, there's an opportunity Saturday night with Kevin and Jen, and there's another opportunity Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, with the Bradleys. It is in these small group settings, as well as our Sunday morning worship services, that our tangible relationships with other people who know and love Jesus Christ and have experienced salvation can strengthen our spiritual faith and deepen our relationship, not only with other Christians, but with God Himself. Even as God Himself was tabernacled or present with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament by living in a tent right in the middle of their community, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is tabernacle, is tented, is dwelling in our midst as we meet together in small groups. You know, it's funny, by way of conclusion, there's a big football game going on this afternoon. It starts around 3:30, something like that. Of course, it's the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos. The guys that are playing on the field today, if they were to get tackled, if they were to get blindsided, if they were to get tripped, if they were even to get a personal foul, when they get up from that play, they're not going to stand up and say, "Why, Robert Kraft, why?" They don't cry out to the owner of the New England Patriots as if they didn't understand that they might get tackled or hurt or blindsided or tackled or foul against them today. They have a relationship with the guys that are on the field where they're all doing what they're supposed to do, and sometimes things go well and sometimes things don't. But the goodness of Robert Kraft in owning the New England Patriots is never on their mind, is never questioned. Why is that? Because they all know their roles. They all know their relationships. They all know what they're supposed to be doing out there on the field. And I know it's kind of a silly example. It's kind of a goofy example. But it is interesting to me how we're okay when it gets cold outside, but there's something about when the wind blows. We're okay when maybe the car won't start, but when the car won't start and we're trying to get a little one to see the doctor because they have a cough that won't go away, we're very quick. Well, it's very easy to start wondering or to get bitter towards God. And what I'm telling you from this very, very fascinating passage in Acts, where Luke is telling us that Paul is not going to be okay, but he's going to be okay, is a powerful reminder for us as believers that the reason Paul was okay with the future persecution and imprisonment that was very much coming his way, that we're going to see in the next few weeks, was absolutely because not only was he living a life of repentant faith, but he was digging deep in fellowship, and that the presence of Jesus was tabernacled, was tented, was present with him as he fellowshipped with the believers throughout the Eastern Mediterranean region where he was planting churches. And so the encouragement for us today is, you know what, today it's a little bit challenging. It's cold and snowy and we're digging out, and it's not a good day for us to have church. It's a good day for us to provide for our families and be safe and look forward to next week with renewed desire to be in church. But it's a great week for small groups. They start this week. We have the opportunity to celebrate the presence of Jesus Christ in our small groups as we meet together, and this time of tangible fellowship will absolutely strengthen our love for the Lord to help us through the times ahead, regardless what comes. Well, hopefully that was an encouragement to you. I miss my time with you guys very much. Absolutely love being a part of River Church, and so thankful for each and every one of you. I hope to see you one way or the other this week. Look forward to seeing you in church for sure. You can always contact me during the week via email, on the website, or on Facebook. I'm happy to meet with you guys as I can be an encouragement to you, pray with you, help you find direction, talk about salvation or baptism. And so I'm going to wrap up this little devotional this morning. I hope it's an encouragement to you and your family. I love you guys very much. Let me pray with you before I sign off. Heavenly Father, we know it's cold outside, and we're not surprised that life can be challenging. We're not surprised that life can be difficult, but there are times where just the wind chill of life just takes us by surprise. And if we were to be honest with you, we would actually begin to question your goodness to us. So we had an opportunity to look at a text this morning, Father, that encourages us to strengthen our faith through tangible relationships, through tangible experiences as we meet with other Christians and pray and feel the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, so that during the times where things feel a little intangible and the wind chill of our life is cranking up, that we can stay strong in our faith and the assurance of our personal relationship with you and your heart towards us as your sons and your daughters. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning and God bless. We'll see you guys next week.